Hey, I'm Marcus, and this is Marine Mammal Rescue Stories, a podcast all around marine mammal rescue and wildlife rehab. For this second episode, I'm interviewing once again Sean Cahoon. She is a veterinary technologist with the Marine Mammal Rescue Center and the Vancouver Aquarium. And man, Sean, since I last interviewed you, you've become a little bit of a celebrity yourself. How have you been?
I think that it's more about Joey than it's about me or any of the other people that work with him. But super happy to have everybody here and for all the support that everybody has offered over the last couple of months.
Yeah, so many people. We've got almost 2,000 people watching and listening right now. That's exciting all by itself. And well, I guess the first thing I need to do is I mentioned you're a veterinary technologist, but I have to ask once again, what is that for all the people who didn't listen to the last one?
Yeah. Okay. So a veterinary technologist is sort of like a nurse, but for animals. So we have a pretty broad range of things that we are actually responsible for. The only things that we cannot do are diagnose, prescribe, and do surgeries. So pretty much everything else in between is our responsibility. So we're talking things like lab work, sample collection, x-rays, anesthesia, procedure setup, and then super boring things like inventory and some of the budget and financial stuff as well. So my job personally, I'm the senior vet tech at the Vancouver Aquarium, and so I'm responsible for the healthcare of all of the animals on site at the aquarium, as well as helping out at the rescue center wherever needed and with specialty animals. And with kind of special cases like Joey, I get to help out with that too. So it's kind of all-encompassing, and it's super fun, and I really love it.
Actually, one of the most common questions we get on all social media, including on YouTube, almost every day, is how do you get into that kind of job? What do you have to do to become a veterinary technologist / technician / nurse? There's lots of
Yeah, depending on your location, we're kind of called different things. In British Columbia, our association, we're called a veterinary technologist, and it's basically a university degree. And there are, when I went to university, there was only one school in British Columbia, and that was in Kamloops. Now I believe that there are a couple of different schools, some that you can do via distance and some in-person learning. So I did that, and then I actually worked in a small animal practice for several years, so with dogs and cats. And that was for about 12 or 13 years, and then I have a really good friend of mine actually is the manager of the rescue center. And I've told the story a bunch of times. It's pretty funny, actually. I used to see the really cool photos and videos and things that she would post on her social media. And kind of as a joke one day, I said to her, "Your job looks super fun. You should hire me." And she was like, "Okay, cool. You start in a month." So it's a little bit different for me. I had a kind of a weird route into working with marine mammals or aquatic animals. But, you know, a lot of the stuff is similar to dogs and cats or terrestrial mammals. And if anybody is interested in a career kind of along those lines, I would say that you need to work in a small animal practice and get your skill set and your clinical skills down before moving on to something specialty. But just volunteer, get your foot in the door, and do whatever you have to do to kind of be on site and right in the mix of things.
All right. We mentioned you've worked with a wide variety of species, both at the rescue center and the Vancouver Aquarium. Anything from super tiny things like sea snails to something really big like walruses. You've fed them all.
Yep.
And Joey's not your first sea otter. You've fed quite a few that you cared for in the past, right?
Yep.
I'm getting myself into this trap asking the yes or no questions. What was the first sea otter you ever cared for, and when was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, of course I remember. I remember all of them. The first sea otter that I ever had a really close working encounter relationship with was Katmai. And that was when she was still a rescue pup in Alaska. She was rescued by the Alaska Sea Life Center in 2012. And we knew at that point that we wanted to offer her a forever home at the Vancouver Aquarium. And so some of us, as employees in animal care, so some of the trainers, some of the veterinary technologists from the rescue center, were given the opportunity to fly up to Alaska and spend some time at the Sea Life Center and help them with raising Katmai as a pup. And so I had seen sea otters before. I had seen the otters at the aquarium, but at that time I was working at the rescue center and hadn't had a ton of otter experience. So the first time that I walked into Katmai's enclosure at the Alaska Sea Life Center, the first thing I heard was the vocalizing, which everybody calls meeping, and I think it's adorable, but it's quite a bit louder than that. And I kind of looked at the trainer that I was with, Phil, and I went, "What is that sound?" And he was like, "That's your patient for the next 2 weeks." So I got to know Katmai quite well. And then the next one that I was helping out with was Rialto. He was rescued by the Seattle Aquarium. So we traveled to Seattle to help them out with raising him as a baby. And then there was Hardy. So Hardy was rescued off the coast of Port Hardy, and he was brought into our marine mammal rescue facility. That was in 2017, summer of 2017. And then who was after that? Oh, and then Taslina. Taslina was last summer, and she was also rescued in Alaska. So I spent about 6 weeks up in Alaska last summer hanging out with Taslina and with Jess, who's one of the other trainers that people have seen online. And I was lucky enough to be on the transport with Taslina back to the Vancouver Aquarium. So we had a private Learjet transport us from Anchorage, Alaska to Vancouver. So fancy. Yeah, she hated it. Imagine being trapped in a small plane with a screaming otter.
Imagine.
Yeah. But yeah, so Joey's the, what is that, four or five? I've lost count. Anyways, he's not the first pup that I've been able to work with. I imagine he won't be the last, but certainly he is the most famous otter pup I have ever actually had the chance to work with, and that's thanks to all of you.
Yes. I'm just laughing because I'm getting through all these questions. I'm going to try and get some of the ones that have been submitted previously over the last few days. I've got almost 200 questions here on my list. It's okay. Amazing. Something as simple as, is Joey the cutest sea otter pup you've ever seen?
Like, I want to say yes. But
I said that every time we see a new one.
Right. I actually, when I was in Alaska with Taslina, I just thought that she was the cutest thing ever. But man, Joey's just grabbed my heart. I don't know. Something about that little guy.
Oh, yeah. We're just looking at the live picture. They're still both in the pool, right? I haven't seen another otter come up for a while. Oh, yeah, there she is.
He? She? I can't tell.
And that's her.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the side, I think. Yeah. I can't tell. To me, all those
questions, Marcus. Questions. We have a lot of questions to get through.
Thanks for the reminder. We see both of them very active right now, but I think pretty much the whole night, at least, Kunik has been sleeping. She was all cute, cuddled up in a corner with her star-shaped foam-like thing.
Kunik's corner, yeah.
But I have questions about sleep, lots of questions regarding sleep, actually. Does Joey have a regular sleep schedule?
We've kind of put Joey on a regular sleep schedule. As a pup, they require pretty constant care. And so when he was really little and he was still being bottle fed, we were feeding him every 2 to 3 hours throughout the night. And that would kind of depend on him. Sometimes it was a little bit sooner than 2 hours. If he was sleeping, sometimes it would be 3 hours or a little bit longer. Obviously, as Joey gets older, we are not going to be with him 24 hours. He's not going to have people there giving him scritches and drying him off with towels throughout the night. And so, I know, sorry, don't tell him. But yeah, so we're trying to get him on a similar schedule to the other otters, where in between their training session or their feeding sessions, which is, I want to say, about 5 or 6 times a day, they wrestle and play with their toys and with each other. And so he'll be a little bit more independent, and hopefully he'll have the same sort of sleep schedule that the other otters do, which would be last feed is 5 o'clock-ish in the afternoon, and then they kind of haul out and do their grooming and do their thing, and then just rest or float or sleep until the next morning.
And do you think he's getting there already?
I think that, I mean, last night aside, yes, he had some really, really good nights in the last week or so where he slept virtually the entire night except for bathroom breaks. Last night he was really, really active until I think the wee hours of the morning, long after I stopped watching him. But that's not to be unexpected. His whole world got turned up upside down yesterday with the addition of Kunik to his little bachelor pad. And she's making some decorative changes. And I think he's got a couple opinions on that. But the more comfortable they get with each other and the more they get into a routine of doing their feeds together and that kind of thing, he'll settle back into to a good routine.
Cool. I'm just going to do a few more sleep questions, or at least one, because sleep is such an important topic for some people. This is a common question. Does Joey dream in his sleep?
You know what? I've never asked him, so I can't answer that for certain. But, he's the same as a dog and a cat sometimes when he sleeps. You can see them twitching or whiskers twitching or feet moving, that kind of thing, which I think as people we equate to having a dream. What it actually means, I'm not sure. If there's anyone that has studies on otter sleep or dreams, please let me know so I can answer that question in the future.
We'll interview Joey next.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm not sure how fruitful that will be, but we'll try.
I'm pretty sure I know what he's going to say.
I have a feeling too. there's somebody named Bren. They want to know whether you can tell them something about the skeletal structure of otters because they're so flexible. What makes them so flexible?
They are really flexible, yeah. And the skeletal structure, I'm not sure. I said it last night in the chat somewhere. They're flat. Like, they're the weirdest shaped animals that I've worked with, mammals that I've worked with. The crazy thing about otters is that their skin is only attached to their skeletal system in a very few places. And so they can actually reach, you know, behind their shoulder and pull the fur back over to their front to clean it. Incredibly agile and flexible. Something I think that we all wish that we could be a little bit more at times, but they're really cool animals. If you ever get a chance to see an otter skeleton, I don't know, maybe people can Google it or whatever. They're pretty interesting to look at. I also actually have on my Instagram somewhere, there is an x-ray of an otter chest way back a couple of years. So if people want to see what it looks like on x-ray, there you go.
Moderators will share your Instagram channel with our audience. They can go and have a look. I was looking for one specific question, but it's just too many. Let's take a live question then. This is funny. Is Kunik the only one who does the periscope pose? She looks very flexible. Sort of a follow-up to the last one.
She is indeed very flexible. You'll see all of the otters at one point or another exhibiting that behavior. It's just a grooming or a cleaning behavior. She often will do it after she goes into the pool and goes to the bathroom. It's something that all the otters do. I haven't seen Joey do it a ton, but I feel like the more time that he spends with her, the more he's going to try and do it. So we'll see what happens there.
So when it comes to learning, we know that they do spend a lot of time with their moms in the wild. Maternal learning, so this is continuing at the aquarium. He's still going to copy. Is this how he learns behaviors, or are they all instinctual, all those things?
It's
those typical otter behaviors.
Yeah, it's a bit of a combo platter. Obviously he's really instinctual. He's been able to do a lot of things that we can't teach him. The roles in the water and the grooming and all of that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't say that it's going to be maternal from Kunik, but he's definitely going to see how other otters act and how they interact with each other. And he's going to learn from that. And there were a couple of moments yesterday. I know some people expressed concern over, some bites or nips that were seen, and that's completely normal otter behavior, and that's how Joey is going to learn his otter manners. And so that's kind of what Kunik is there for, right? To teach him the ropes of how to be a sea otter. And it's something that you often will see with dogs. If you watch dogs and, you know, playing at the dog park or something like that, they nip and they use their mouth and their teeth and that kind of thing. And it's a communication tool. And so, just from being around Kunik and being around the other otters, he'll figure out how to be an otter pretty quick.
Yeah. Those social behaviors are quite important, right? For him to find his role in that group and to, well, be shown some boundaries by that.
To discover that he's a sea otter. Yep.
Yes. Lots of questions about the introduction. For those who are not regularly watching this live stream, he was introduced. That was only yesterday, right?
That was yesterday morning. It feels like a lifetime ago.
So long ago to me.
But yeah, that was only yesterday morning at about, what time? I think it was about 9, just after 9 o'clock a.m. time, Joey Daylight time.
Sometime in the morning, yeah. Joey Daylight time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've lost our live image. I'm going to fix that when you answer the next question. Some of these questions we've already answered. There's one, about the sequence of otters he's gonna meet. Is there any fixed plan or so? He's met Kunik now. Is he gonna meet this otter next, and then this otter? Are those groups going to be mixed up very soon, or is he going to stay with Kunik for some time? Can you comment on that?
Yeah, so I commented a little bit yesterday, and it was kind of this is day one with Kunik, so let's kind of see how this goes before we start moving on to the next step. But it'll definitely be personality based. And my guess would be the next one that he would meet would be Katmai or Mac, just based on personality. Mac is one of the adult males. He's neutered, so he's a pretty sweet boy. I think he might be a favorite amongst some of the trainers. Don't tell the other otters. So that would be my guess. Obviously, it's completely up to the trainers. I don't think I'm going to be working with Joey as much anymore now that he's in with Kunik. He's more transitioned now from a rehab and medical patient to a training animal, an animal in training, basically. And so it's going to be mostly the trainers working with him, teaching him kind of the basic husbandry and training behaviors so that we can start doing some voluntary preventative healthcare with Joey. So the people that work with him the most are going to be the ones that dictate which otter he will meet next. I would love to see him roughhousing with the boys, with Hardy and Rialto, but I think at this point he's just a little bit too small. So let's give him some room to grow, and then he can wrestle with the boys in a few months here.
Okay, I'm just gonna pick random life questions now because we've got so many. Does otter fur get tangles, or are they mostly declumping dried salt water when they groom?
I have not seen clumped salt water on an otter, except for when Joey first arrived at rehab. We were making our own salt water. We weren't using salt water from the inlet. And that salt did tend to build up a little bit on his fur. But otherwise, I have not seen salt clumps on their fur. Adult otters, their fur has to be immaculate. Otherwise, they can't thermoregulate. And so that's why they groom so much. And otter fur is beautiful. It's like a velvety, you know, robe that you want to drape yourself in. It's amazing. But the pups, especially when they have their pup fur, it's kind of a little bit, it's still soft as anything, but it's a little bit coarser than the adult fur. It's not quite as smooth and slinky. And so that does tend to get a little bit tangled, especially in, there's always certain areas, kind of like the armpit area, and then like base of the tail, lower back area. And Joey has a couple of knots still sort of around his neck and hip areas. So as much as we can, we're still going to work on that. But it's at the point where he's grooming enough on his own that he eventually is going to figure it out, and we will kind of back off on the grooming. So long story short, a normal adult healthy otter shouldn't have any tangles or mats in its fur. Pups, it's common, and we've seen it with adults that have been rescued that have come in poor body condition, so haven't been grooming properly, and therefore their coat's not in awesome shape. So it can happen, but it's not normal.
You mentioned that he's transitioning now from being a rehab animal to being an otter in training. learning all the otter things and also learning husbandry behaviors that will make it easier later for trainers to interact with them.
Yep.
You also mentioned that we had a few concerns by people that were watching them together for the first time yesterday. One of those concerns I remember was people were so upset about trainers taking his towels away. He didn't have any towels. How good is he grooming himself without a towel now? Because you mentioned the last time you mentioned that the towel is sort of cheating, basically. He's using that to do his wiggling routine to just
So to be honest, he hasn't needed us to towel him off in quite some time. It's been more of just a routine kind of thing for him, you know, something to signify maybe it's nap time or it's quiet time, you're not getting any more feeds, it's time to go to bed, Joey. So he doesn't need us to towel him off. He doesn't need the towels to wiggle. He can actually reach a lot more of the spots now. He's grooming his problem areas. He can wiggle on the kelp and kind of get the same outcome as the towels. So we're trying to move away from the towels for him, mostly because A, he doesn't really need them, and B, Kunik, if she were to get a hold of a towel, would probably have a joyous time shredding it, and we don't want to deal with that. So, so I think we're kind of done with the towels for Joey. And honestly, he'll pretty quickly forget all about them once he realizes he's meant to be an otter.
I've got one question now that I know you've been preparing for, kinda, because that's a question we get all the time. It's an easy question, actually, but probably a more complex answer. Do they have any special structures in their ears that keep them from getting dizzy? Why don't they get dizzy? We get this question a lot.
Okay, this question came up on Discord, and I can't remember who asked it, but I said that I would look into the answer.
100 people every 100, day. Okay. I don't know who specifically asked on Discord.
Okay. I asked a very experienced marine mammal veterinarian who shall remain unnamed at this point, because I kind of had an idea, but I couldn't put into words exactly why otters don't get dizzy when they do the spinning in the pool or in the water. And it has to do with the inner ear, and I'm not going to get into the anatomy of the inner ear, but the vestibular system, which is responsible for kind of a sense of balance and that kind of thing, is obviously much more complex and a lot different in marine mammals than it is in people. And so they just handle that kind of thing a lot differently than us. It's a normal behavior for them where it isn't for us, and so they need to be able to do it, obviously, to keep their coats in good condition and to wash their food and do all of that kind of stuff. So long story short, it's an inner ear thing, and don't try it at home.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for me. I know that. Just looking at it sometimes gets you dizzy.
Yes,
so.
Exactly.
This is also, people are so obsessed with their pockets. Can you explain what those pockets are that the otters have?
Oh, I actually had a good feel of his pockets the other day. They're so small. I think you said, Marcus, recently that he could maybe fit a walnut in there. I'm not even sure he could fit that
a
in there.
Peanut, maybe.
A peanut, maybe, yeah. Although I watched Kunik this morning take two kind of muffin-sized giant ice treats and shove them in her pocket and take off into the pool with them. So they definitely grow as the otter grows. And hopefully Joey will learn how to use his little pockets by watching Kunik. But as of right now, I think he has no idea that he even has them. I actually really want to see the first time he discovers them, though.
Oh, I'm pretty sure the fans will be watching around the clock, and you'll be the first to know when that happens. That's an interesting question about communication. Do otters know each other's names? I don't even know whether they have some sort of, like, they don't have signature whistles like dolphins, I'm pretty sure, but do they have some sort of communication, means of communication?
Again, I'm not an otter, so I don't know the exactly 100% an answer to that question, but what I can say is what we see with our otters at the aquarium. Obviously the pups can vocalize a lot, and they are not afraid to, as anybody walking through Stanley Park in the last few months has heard. Joey has a lot to say. So whether it's I'm hungry, or I want a towel, or I'm excited, look at me dive, or this toy is amazing, I want to play soccer, it's just loud vocals. The older otters, as once they kind of get older and get more mature, they don't really vocalize like that anymore. We had one older male otter named Alfin. He passed away a few years ago. We just loved him. He was amazing. But he was the only one that we would, every once in a while, we would hear him kind of make a high-pitched noise. It's nothing like a like the pop squeal, but it's really weird. It's a high-pitched vocal. They have, like, they kind of can growl and hiss at each other if they're not if they're not happy with something that another otter is doing. Koenig did that to Joey a couple of times yesterday, just kind of putting him in his place. But it's mostly through physical behaviors with each other. There's a lot of physical touch and wrestling and interacting. Otters are so handsy with their front, with their paws, like their front feet are just constantly in motion. And so that's mostly how they communicate, actually, with kind of physical behaviors and, you know, swimming, even they'll bump into one if they want to wrestle with him and that kind of thing. So less vocal, more physical.
That's so interesting. And I'm kind of sad I never heard Elfin vocalize in any way. I know the growling and hissing sounds that they make. I've heard that before, but especially when they're like wrestling each other.
Sometimes I don't think Joey had ever heard that. So Koenig did that yesterday and he there was like a big question mark above his head. He was like, what does this mean?
Oh, I'm sure she has other means of letting him know what it means. So Joey is growing and he's going fast. He's gained a lot of weight. Actually, I'm not sure what our latest reported weight is.
I think he was 10.4 again today.
10.4, yeah.
He was 10.5 yesterday, 10.3. Yeah. He's kind of been around the same for the last couple of days.
Yeah, there's people always concerned about weight gain and weight loss. We keep telling them that's a normal thing, but it is, right? At like a human infant, some weight changes are just completely normal as you grow.
Exactly. And he'll go through kind of growth spurts as well, same as a human baby. And so that's our job to kind of read his behavior and his attitude and decide if he's hungry and we need to increase his base amount. I mean, he slowly has been increased since he arrived. I think the first bottle that we pulled up for him was 20 grams of formula. And at the end, he was getting like 180 grams of formula plus solids as well. So we have adjusted his diet a lot. It's almost like a daily conversation of where his diet's at. And that will change as his needs change as well. So if he's going to be more active with Koenig and his weight is maintaining or he's dropping a couple of grams, then we're going to up his diet. But it's not necessarily... the diet is not necessarily adjusted per day based on his weight. What we want to see is an upward trend, and whether that goes up one day and then down a little bit and then up the next day and then down a little bit, as long as it's trending in an upward motion, we're happy with that. We don't need him to pack on, you know, a kilogram a day. That would probably be overfeeding him a little bit too much. He's going to fluctuate for sure, but as long as he's trending in an upward direction, then that's what we're happy with.
There were lots of food questions. I'm just going through some of them. One regarding the variety. This person is saying some fish has been added to his diet. What other food will still be added? So
just as a review for those of you who haven't been following along consistently recently, currently Joey is getting clam pieces. So he doesn't get the guts because those are gross. He will once he gets older. But right now he's getting clam foot and mussel. He's getting squid, deep end squid. So he gets squid heads and then the mantle pieces as well. And he's getting some fillets, which I called cod. They might be pollock. Some kind of whitefish, yeah. So that's his three kind of main diet items right now. The older otters also get capelin, which is a really small kind of silver fish that's found along the coast. So that'll probably be the next item that's introduced into his diet. And then they used to get a lot of shrimp. They don't get as much shrimp anymore. They will sometimes get it in ice treats. So we might try some shrimp with him. And then the rest of it, I think, is just mostly kind of luxury or special treat items. So they'll once in a while get sea urchins, which I think the aquarium posted a video recently of one of the otters eating an urchin. They just destroy them. It's crazy. And then somebody had the idea to try and do the same thing with a pineapple. I don't know. Might have been JJ. I'm not sure.
He'll like the name check, I'm sure.
So urchins are a treat. They sometimes get live crab. We have fed otters at the rescue center clams in the shell, like little butter clams. We've done, what else have we done? What are the long clam thing? Gooey duck.
Oh, yeah. Expensive.
Yeah. We had an otter at the rescue center who would eat only gooey duck for the first like several weeks that we had him.
Was that Walter?
It was Walter. Yeah. So we had one of our purchasing ladies actually had to go out to one of the seafood wholesalers and purchase a bunch of gooey duck for him. So their tastes vary quite a bit, but long story short, they are fed items that they would only find in the wild where they are from. So fish and seafood items that are found locally off the coast of British Columbia.
Oh, let's hope Joey doesn't develop expensive tastes in food right now.
Yeah.
If you want to support the Marine Mammal Rescue Center and the aquarium, buy expensive food items for Joey. keep in mind,
please don't send us food items for Joey.
No, don't. We have places where we get them fresh. And if you want to support us doing any of these things, then please keep in mind that you can symbolically adopt any one of the animals at the rescue center, but Joey in particular. Go to mmrpatients.org or just go to our YouTube chat. I think it's a pinned message. You can't escape it. Just click on it and adopt and donate. Both the rescue center and the aquarium really appreciate that support. So I have lots of questions about as he's growing up, they're asking, is he still developing his personality, or is that pretty much a fixed thing? And also lots of questions, what is his personality like?
People ask that a lot about his personality. There's nothing really that jumps out at me other than, like, he's pretty demanding. You can see when he meeps, he knows exactly what he wants. He's staring at us like, bring me clams, lady. He's a pretty sweet little guy, honestly. Hand feeding him his solid foods, he's super gentle, as people have commented in the chat. He's just a lovely little bro. He's definitely still developing a personality, and I think he will for many years, actually. And I think with the different otters that he gets introduced to, that's going to add things to his personality as well. So we're gonna be able to see Joey grow up for several years at least anyways, which is kind of fun.
I'm just thinking of all these influences. Katmai always comes to mind.
Yeah, Katmai's a bad influence. Yeah, she's a bit of a brat.
So exciting times ahead as we watch him grow. This is also a cute question. Apart from whether he's the cutest sea otter you've ever seen, we had that earlier, but somebody's asking, is Joey special, or are all baby sea otters this smart? Is he particularly smart?
You guys, I'd love to say yes and say he's the smartest otter I've ever worked with. He's the king. But honestly, all baby otters are pretty smart, and they know how to get what they want, usually. They're pretty smart animals, and Joey is no exception. He's actually learned incredibly fast in the last couple of days with his training. It's ins and outs of the pool, and following the trainer, you know, kind of along the hollow area and that kind of thing. It's been really cool to actually see him learn so quickly in the last few days. So watch for that. You'll see the trainers ask him out of the pool and back into the water, and he does it happily, because then he gets a clam. So it's what we call positive reinforcement training, and he is all over that.
That works for human children as well.
Yeah.
So effective.
Yeah, exactly. Food motivated.
We've got tons of very talented artists submitting artwork. One of those people is Juno, and he actually has a question, so I wanted to bring this in.
I love that art. Oh, my goodness. I think I told him that, but it's amazing. I'm so blown away by all of these artists. I mean, I do cool things, but you guys, I can't even draw a stick figure. So kudos to you. Very well done.
And Juno does has a question as a VIP that he is in our community. I want to ask this question. Joey mainly sleeps on land, but is it still a long time before he can sleep on water? Is that a skill that he needs to learn, or is that just an adult thing?
No, I don't think it's a skill that he needs to learn. I think we saw him sleep in the water in Sheldon maybe a couple of times when he was in the playroom, which I want to call Clem Galactopia. Did I get it right? Yes. Okay. Galactopia.
I'm actually not sure.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, chat, please tell us.
So
this is so embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing. It's too much. I can't keep track of it all. So we've seen him nap on his back a little bit in Sheldon. I think the problem though with this pool is you can see when the toys are in there that there is quite a current. And that's because this pool is constantly skimming and flushing in new water. There's actually a drain on the bottom, or maybe that's where the water comes in. I'm not sure actually which way is which, but there's a constant current in this pool. So I'm not sure I've even seen Kunik actually sleep in this pool. But he, as soon as he moves into the bigger habitat, I expect that that's something that he'll start doing for sure. Our otters are rescued otters, so they don't actually really know how to be an otter in the wild. There are some male otters in the wild that actually don't ever haul out. But our otters don't know that. So they it's a mix between sleeping in the water and sleeping on the haul out.
Yeah. Yeah. I've watched them do both things. Yep, I mean, exactly. Pretty much the aquariums otters, pretty much all of them do sleep in the water as well as on land.
Right? Periodically, yeah. Some have their preferred spots on top of a skimmer on the hollow, but yeah, they often sleep in the water and they'll kind of float over to the window and say hi.
And they often sleep with their toys, right? I saw Kunik sleep with her favorite star-shaped toy that she used to decorate.
Mac loves the buckets. Mac will stack the buckets on his belly and then nap with like three buckets on his belly. Yeah. Rialto really likes the little plastic boomer balls. I can't remember who. The trainers would know more about whose favorite toy is what. But yeah, they've all got their favorites for sure.
I just remember Elfin would just wait until all the otters slept and then he would start and swim around and collect all the toys from everyone.
Yeah, he stole everyone. He really liked the sheriff's badges too, those little star-shaped kelp things. Elfin loved those, yeah.
connected question to that. Can we send Joey toys?
Okay, so I actually just sent a couple of emails today thanking people for the toys that we received. You guys, it's so thoughtful, and it's the thought and the support is honestly so much appreciated. I know I keep saying it, but it's so, so true. In your cards and whoever sent the cookies, bless you. They were amazing. But to be honest, Joey's needs are changing so rapidly that the majority of the toys that he received, we can't actually use for him. So I've contacted some of the people who had sent their toys that left me their email addresses, addresses, just to say, ask if there is somewhere that they would like us to donate those toys to, because we can't use them for the otter pups, especially now that he's with Kunik. I'm not sure if people fully understand the strength of their teeth and the destruction that they can cause. So the last thing that we want to have on our plates is an otter that has chewed up a toy and now has a foreign body inside of it. So we're playing it safe. And for those reasons, a lot of the toys that we have received, we cannot use. So I think we're good for toys. Please don't send any more toys. But thank you so much for the thoughts.
Yeah, there were so many people that are still people offering to send toys, which is amazing. The support in general has just been incredible.
Oh, it's honestly, it's mind blowing. It's really, especially during this time, you know, this strange time in the world with coronavirus and everybody's routines are strange and lives have been affected so negatively. It's so awesome to have this community of people who care so much about this little fuzzy creature, and by extension his caregivers. So thank you so much, you guys.
And connected to that community, they also come up with tons of names, and Clamalot is the name for the playroom.
Clamalot. Okay, is Clamtopia this pool then?
Yes.
Okay. I know there's a list on Discord somewhere, but I haven't checked it out yet.
We're working on a wiki because we have so many new terms. I think they started naming the moths from behemoth to...
Okay, so I didn't know if you guys could see that, but the very first time I took Joey for a swim in the big pool when he was still spending a lot of time in the nursery, his little orange cone was on the towel on the counter. And when I brought him back in from the pool to put on the grooming table, there was actually a moth on the orange cone. So I don't know if you guys saw that, but I actually messaged Marcus and I was like, the moth was on the cone. He loves the cone too. And then, yeah, behemoth and Pierre. Is there a Pierre?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It's amazing. The creativity is so awesome.
Everybody loves the cone, by the way. It's the It's the top toy.
It's for like any otter. Standard otter toy. And I hope nobody from Seattle is listening, but it was actually Rialto's toy that we inadvertently stole from Seattle Aquarium. My apologies, Seattle Aquarium, but you cannot have it back. Our otters love it.
Okay, getting back on topic here. Yeah. We're closing in on 40 minutes, which was...
Oh my goodness, already?
Yes. I know, we've got more than 2,000 people watching now. People are still tuning in and listening to this. It's so amazing. I'm so sorry, people, if I'm not getting to all your questions, because we have so many, and Sean actually does not live here, so she does have to leave at some point. Are you still good for a few more minutes?
Oh, totally. Yeah, okay. You bet.
Okay. There's a lot of questions about training. You're not a trainer, but you've seen these otters go through training a lot when they were still this young. Do you know anything about his training schedule or the things that he's learning first, and in kind of what order? This is what people are asking.
Sure. I think probably Jess or Billy or Rachel might be better to talk to about more involved trainer questions, but the basics for a sea otter pup would be stationing in front of the trainer or the person that is feeding him in the water. And you'll see him do that. It initially started out as he was kind of stationing perpendicular to you on the haul out. And then that way you can drop the clams onto his chest or into his paws. But the preferred way is for the otter to be, I guess, parallel to the hollow, so kind of horizontal in front of you, so then you can get a full view and feel of the body as you're doing the training session. So the purpose of doing these training behaviors is so that the otters can participate in their own healthcare. Every session that the trainers do with these otters, they're checking as much as of the otter as they can. So they check teeth, they can check the gums, they can check the paws, they can check the flippers, they can have a little feel of the belly, they can check the tail. So we want him to get really comfortable with laying out in that station in front of us and with us kind of touching, you know, different parts of his body. So that's probably something that you'll see starting next. You say touch, and then you put a hand on his belly or a flipper, and he'll offer you his flipper, something like that. So at this point, it's super basic stuff. Some of the other otters, the older otters, have moved into, we vaccinate our otters every year for a couple of different things, and some of the otters now will actually sit for a voluntary vaccine. And so the older he gets and the faster he gets the basics, the faster he can move on to some of the more complex behaviors. There's a couple of different reasons why we do training for animals. Number one is for healthcare, and that's kind of first and foremost, super important. But also they need to have fun, right? So we have fun behaviors that the trainers train them for, where, you know, it's maybe combining a couple of basic behaviors into one fun thing, something that's fun for them to do, like retrieving toys, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of different things that they can do, but it just depends on Joey's pace. For now, we're going to stick to the basics. I feel like that was a really drawn out answer, but yeah, he'll get there.
I think you answered all the questions that came about training in this one answer. Amazing. Okay, what else? This is an interesting one, actually. This is the first time I read this question. Do wild otters make burrows for their pups when they're breeding?
I think somebody might be thinking about river otters.
Right.
Sea otters don't have burrows that I've ever heard. Maybe I know nothing about sea otters. I don't know. No, they spend pretty much all of their time in the ocean. Otter pups, when they're with their mom, as everybody has said, they spend a lot of time on their mom's belly. When mom goes to forage, they'll either wrap the pup up in kelp, or they actually sometimes will place it up on a rock or a dock. I think sometimes in California they use docks. And so they'll sort of place this little fuzz ball on the dock and then go dive and collect some food and then come back and follow the pup's vocals to find where they left it, and then off they go. I know nothing about sea otters and burrows. That's not something that I've ever heard before.
No, so, I think they might have been confusing them with river otters. Do otters have a pecking order like most animals? And what happens when somebody does not fit in?
I don't really know know how to answer that question. Katmai is the oldest female, so to me, and again, I don't spend five sessions a day with the otters, the trainers do, so they'd be able to answer that better than me. To me, Katmai is like kind of the big mama of the group, and but I don't know the dynamic between each individual otter. As far as I know, to my knowledge, that there has never been a pup that hasn't been welcomed into the group. I mean, it was pretty vigorous yesterday when Katmai was let in there. She was like, wee! And they were kind of all over each other. So, yeah, I don't think that that's ever happened. I don't know if there's a chance that they, in the wild, if they don't accept someone into the group. But they can be solitary in the wild anyway, so that's probably not the hugest deal.
I just rewatched the scene from a few minutes ago when he was clearly he walked over to the gate and was meeping right into the camera.
He was saying hi.
There was actually one question was why does he look into the camera?
I actually don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure how he would even know that there is a camera there. My only guess is that he can hear it. Focusing or moving when the view moves, and that attracts his attention. That's my best guess.
Yeah, I think, well, they probably do have quite sensitive hearing, mm-hmm. and the camera that you guys online are watching right now is a camera that does have servo motors that actually move the camera around, so it physically moves and then can focus on a different scene, and that makes sort of a very high-pitched whine sound if we move the camera very fast, so he might be able to hear that. Maybe he knows there's a camera, or maybe he just thinks that's his way of ordering.
He obviously knows that there are 1900 people online watching him right now.
Obviously knows that. Yes, that's why he gets away with all the meeping. Yeah. Are the other otters as vocal as Joey? As we're talking about meeping here.
I think that we kind of covered that already, but no.
Maybe as pups when they
as got all pups are vocal, super vocal, yeah, and that's instinctual.
He wasn't very vocal at all, right? When I first saw him, he was just this big. Oh, just he was a tiny thing.
He was a cotton ball fluff. I don't even think he knew how to vocalize at that point. But at this stage of the game, every otter pup that I've worked with has been just as vocal as Joey.
Right. Yeah, I remember Hardy was probably the first one where I consciously. I don't know. I went to the aquarium, and even before I got to the aquarium, I already heard this, and I thought, like, what is this?
Halfway across Stanley Park. I'd parked my car in the upper parking lot, which is like an 8-minute walk from the aquarium, and you could hear Rialto from there. So, yeah, they have a lot of opinions at this age, and they're not afraid to share them, for sure.
Yeah, so losing your pup is not an easy feat. You're like, you have to get away, far away.
Like, really far away. Somebody posted a video recently of a mom, I think she was sleeping, and the pup was just floating beside her in the water, just like, wake up, mom. And it took her a while to wake up, and I don't blame her. I mean, they are a lot of work. Let her nap.
Yeah, she can't go home and leave the pup there with somebody else. Yeah, all the trainers and caretakers you see on camera, they of course get to go home. And a wild otter mom doesn't get to do that. So I can only imagine how exhausting that must be. Can we get to some more of these live questions? And sorry again, guys. I know there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of questions, and we cannot possibly get through all of them. We're already at 47 minutes, and I'm going to cut it off in a few. Maybe a few more live questions. Well, that's an easy one. How long do they stay with their moms in the wild?
I think it's somewhere around 6 months to a year. They would feed formula from the mom for, I think, the first couple of months, and then similar to what we did with Joey, but maybe we did a little bit sooner with him. They kind of slowly start to incorporate solid food. So it's something that starts out with maybe the pup plays with a little clam or something first, and then realizes, oh, I want to put this in my mouth, and then realizes, oh, this tastes amazing. and so they kind of slowly wean onto solids like that. But yeah, and unlike seal pups who seal moms after 30 days are like, see ya, you're on your own. Otter pups stay with their moms for the first 6 to 12 months of their life.
Right. Interesting question concerning, I'm not sure how this applies to in the wild, but we get this question a lot as they were watching, you know, the last trainers in the evening that would leave the gate and would just leave him on his own in the habitat. Do pups suffer from separation anxiety as a question? We get this a lot.
I don't know the answer to that. Certainly once we have spent a lot of time with a pup, and a lot of uninterrupted time, they are used to having somebody there and may not understand why that's not happening anymore. Separation anxiety, I don't think that that's what I would call it. Usually when you see that in dogs, it's like a crazy neurotic thing and they end up terrorizing, you know, the house and ripping apart couch cushions and that kind of thing. And that's not something that we see. He probably doesn't really think that he wants to be on his own, but it's something that needs to happen. And it's a step, a learning step for him to actually becoming a sea otter and growing up a little bit. Growing pains.
He's getting there. People are so excited to see them together, to watch them, to watch two for the price of one now.
Right, exactly, yeah. Poor Kunik's like, oh, this child is wearing me out. She's got being chill down to an art, though. Good for her.
Okay, I'm going to get to the end very soon. One fun question for you. What are your other favorite animals to work with at the aquarium?
Oh, that's a really unfair question because I love them all. I have to say that. What are my other vibes? Oh, so the marine mammals are obviously really charismatic. I do love the sea lions and I love the fur seals. We get to spend a lot of time with them, thankfully. Our office is connected to the sea lion, Stellar Sea Lion office. So today we had a fur seal up in our office. This morning we took blood from one of the sea lions, so we get to hang out with the pinnipeds quite a bit. Non-marine mammal animals, you know what, they're super underrated, but fish are really cute, and they actually do have little personalities as well, which I didn't realize until I started working there.
Do you have a favorite fish?
Do I have a favorite fish? There's a cold saltwater fish called a giant wrymouth, and she looks like a huge sea snake. And they're kind of a bottom fish. They're not super gregarious fish. You know, they're not the fish that comes to greet you at the window, but, they're super cool. I really, really like them. Oh, you're putting me on the spot here. I like all fish equally. Can I say that? And then as far as non-marine mammal animals, what do I like? The monkeys are really amazing. The sloths are cool. One of the sloth keepers has done a really great job with training and socializing of one of the sloths. The other one was kind of an unwilling participant and remains that thus far. But Hurricane is a adorable little sloth that will actually come down and is trained to take her food from the keeper. And we've been able to do, you know, exams on her and, you know, feed her grapes and little bits of tofu and stuff. So she's really cute. I can't even think of what else we've got. There's some fun birds. I don't know. It's easier for me to say I just love them all equally because I can't really pick my favorite, to be honest.
What's your relationship with the harbor seals at the rescue center? Because this was kind of the first place where you got introduced to marine mammals when you started. Is that true?
It is true, yeah. So my first day at the rescue center was the first time that I'd ever seen a harbor seal pup. Aww. And I had no idea that they could be that adorable. And I actually still remember the very first harbor seal rescue that I ever went on. And I actually got to name the pup. And he still to this day is the cutest one that I have ever seen. His name was Truffles. And that was in 2011. the pups at the rescue center definitely have a special place in my heart, for sure.
I'm so glad that I don't have to answer the question about favorite animals. That would
fill
its own episode. All right. Well, Sean, thank you so much for coming here again today for the second time. Who knows? We might do this again in the future.
We might do it again. You never know.
Thank you, everybody who's been listening and watching our live stream over the last couple of months. There's still more than 2,000 people watching and listening right now.
Wow, that's crazy. Thanks, you guys.
And I'd I'd like to thank the people who've helped make this program today possible by compiling all those questions. Our Tenshi, Fanini, Aqua friend Brenda, you were the ones who helped with those live questions. And of course, thank you to all our live stream moderators who are online right now on YouTube, making sure that the chat is running smoothly. There's a ton of them. I can't even read this list. Too many people. You know who you are. Thank you so much. Sean, once again, thank you so much for coming. Everybody else, stay with us and keep watching Otters. You never know. Something like this might happen
again. Yeah, thanks so much, you guys. And again, I just wanted to reiterate how much we really, really appreciate the support. It's been such a fun journey for us with you guys in the last couple of months. And thanks for hanging in there with us.
Okay, and our live stream moderators are actually going to give you Sean's Instagram one more time if you want to follow Sean on Instagram if you can't get enough of this otter and all the fun rescues. She rescues anything from bees to squirrels to harbor seals. You can learn more about that on her Instagram. Just go follow her there. Thank you, everybody, once again for watching, listening, and we'll catch you soon somewhere here nearby.